Before I start, since I'm the last speaker, I want to take this opportunity to have you all join me in showing our appreciation for Ronnie and Lori and all the people here in South Carolina who put this conference together and all the stuff they've done for us. It is such a blessing to have these people and their efforts they put into it and their desire and their hard work and their love for the Lord and love for us. Let's give them a round of applause, please.
All for him.
That's correct. Okay. So we're going to continue with our role play. So this is part two of the role play here. And I'm happy that you're all here, and I know you all love the Lord, and you all are saved. You're all saints in the Word of God. And in, we're going to start off start up where Dave left off in all truth. The second part here is going to be, who is this truth intended for? And we're in a war right now. And you may not realize it, but the war has been going on for a long time. God is trying to teach us His truth and His word of truth. And He has an enemy that's trying to keep us from the truth. And He uses a little word called tradition. And tradition comes from religions of men. So I want you to just be aware that we're in this battle. And we're going to learn some truth that if Paul's ministry was to make all men see the dispensation of the mystery, Satan's mission is to blind all men to the dispensation of the mystery. So there is a glorious gospel in God's Word, in the New Testament, in Paul's writings, that you may never have heard before. For 2,000 years, Christians have barely heard the gospel of the body of Christ. So if you're learning something new today, if David has got your interest in something new and different you might not have heard before, good. I hope you continue in it. And we're going to go on to the second phase in discovering all truth. So here's what, and we're going to use scriptures. It's not about me. I don't have any credentials for men. I was in tradition for 30 years. I was in Protestantism for 20 years. I've been in the Word of God for 17 years. And so I'm pretty well versed in tradition. I had 30 years of it. So here's what Jesus said in Matthew 13. He said, "But he answered and said unto them," talking to the Pharisees, "why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition?" So according to Jesus, the tradition transgresses the commandment of God. In Matthew 15:6, "Thus have ye made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition." And he said unto them in Mark 7:9, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." And Mark 7:13, "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." And John said, Jesus said in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That word truth, if you look in the scriptures, in its various forms, is in the scriptures over 460 times. So it's an important word to God, His truth. So So what do we, what does the truth make you free from? It makes you free from the lie. It makes you free from the traditions of religion. So we're going to again use the tool that guides us. The Word of God preceded any Christian religion or doctrine or denomination. So we're going to go back to the beginning. So the hardest part I have about studying the Scripture is all the things I was taught by religion and tradition. This is one part, maybe the only part of the Westminster Confession I agree with. The supreme judge by which all controversies of religion are to be determined, and all decrees of councils, opinions of ancient writers, doctrines of men, and private spirits are to be examined, and in whose sentence we are to rest can be no other but the Holy Spirit speaking in the Scripture. David and I cannot convince you of anything. We cannot convict you of anything. The only conviction you'll ever get is by the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. In Acts 17:10, there's a thing we follow called the Berean Spirit. And we help pray that you would too. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So as David pointed out in the first session, all truth is found if we go all the way to the epistle to the Colossians. And Paul's ministry and purpose was to complete the Word of God. The rest of the story. So to whom is this truth intended? Colossians 1:26-27 says, even the mystery, which God had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. So, that says, does it not, that is now made manifest to his saints. Believing Christians, saints, believers, not to the lost, to whom God would make known. Is he forcing it on us? I remember religion I used to belong to. You became a member by threat of death or torture or other things. That was not just a desire. So the word would there is the Greek form philo, which means to wish or desire as prompted by natural impulse rather than from considered deliberation. It's not convert or die. It's from the heart. Philo comes from the heart, where the word williomai is from the mind. That is more intentional. Which I believe might be Paul's first post-Acts epistle written, 1 Timothy 2:3-4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Most people I talk to in the Christian realm have been taught to be saved is the be all and end all. Man, I'm saved. What else is there? When I die, I'm going to heaven. And what else matters? But there's a second part to this. Notice the little word and in there. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. By the way, I did not hand out notes at the beginning. You will get these notes, these slides, after the session, because I want you to make your own notes, and I want you to write down any of these verses and search them out later on your own. But you will have a copy of all these at the end. So that word in that verse, will have, is again the word philo. For the unsaved, it is God's desire that all men should be saved. For the saved, believer, which is us, it is his desire to make known all truth, the mystery. God's desire is to make known this mystery to his saints. His saints who desire to know what God desires more than what tradition teaches. Have you ever questioned anything you've been taught? Have you ever looked it up in the Bible? Have you ever questioned anything that a preacher or teacher has taught you? Have you looked it up in the Bible? I encourage you to do so. The word knowledge in that verse, to come to the knowledge of the truth, is epignosis. That means precise or further knowledge through acquaintance with, or true knowledge. The word come to in that verse is a meaning progressive, progression. All truth was revealed to Paul progressively. And David alluded to this earlier, but Acts 26:16, that bears repeating, when Paul was witnessing and speaking before his trial with King Agrippa, he recalled a little different version than an earlier version, what was told to him on the road to Damascus or in Damascus. Now Paul, this is a different version of what Paul said. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. So here's some progressive evidence in the scriptures, which we call progressive revelation. So we're going to go through some of these scripture verses that will give us some evidence of what we're talking about here. 1 Corinthians 3:1-2. This is one of Paul's earlier writings in the Acts period. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." So, this is where we all start. We start on the milk of the Word. We start learning once we realize that Christ is our Savior and we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we want to know more. And we begin to learn the basics of the Bible and what it teaches. But then one of the later books that I agree with David, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And in a minute we're going to show who this was written to. But this is Hebrews 5:12-14. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meats. For anyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil.
Amen.
Hebrews 6, 1 through 3 is very interesting. Paul says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. What are you talking about here, Paul? Now, wait a minute, Paul. We've been teaching this repentance from dead works, and you say, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to teach faith toward God. Are you kidding me? The laying on of hands, the doctrine of baptism. Wait a minute. The resurrection from the dead? Paul, I thought you were a Pharisee. And of eternal judgment. Well, what Paul is saying here is that these things are going to be replaced by new teachings. Repentance from dead works. When you get through all truth in some of the latter epistles of Paul, that word repentance doesn't exist. Faith toward God. I always wonder why we have this motto, in God we trust. People always trust in God, believe in God. And I'm thinking, what about Jesus Christ? Why did they never mention Jesus Christ? My faith is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The doctrine of baptism? Well, I've been sprinkled. I've been dunked. I've been baptized by the Spirit. I've got it all covered. But in Ephesians, there is one baptism. The laying on of hands will disappear. The resurrection of the dead. We'll be talking about a different resurrection for those who know all truth. Eternal judgment. There's another part of judgment we'll talk about, if God will permit. So God will permit it. If God will permit it, we'll talk about it. But who is Paul writing in Hebrews 2? 6, 9 through 11. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Well, you mean there's more than salvation? Though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered and do minister to the saints and do minister. So, Paul is talking, writing Hebrews to ministers of the saints. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope and to the end. Well, what they thought was the end wasn't the end. Hebrews 11:6, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So who is God going to reveal all truth to? Here's a hint. To those who diligently seek him. I love what Job says in 34:32. Kind of simple. That which I know not, teach thou me. after 1 Timothy, if Paul wrote to Titus, he said, addressed this, started this epistle with Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge, acknowledging, there's that word epignosis again, the true knowledge of the truth, which is after godliness. According to the faith of God's elect. Who are the elect? Then Paul wrote Philippians in 3:13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a mouthful there. What does he mean, forgetting those things which are behind? Well, Paul is learning new truth. He's learning all truth. So the things that he once taught, now he has to change. He has a new doctrine. Unlike Paul, Paul changed his doctrine twice, so did I. So Paul's leaving behind the old doctrines, reaching forth to new truth, all truth, new doctrines, and there's a prize that he's pressing toward, the high calling. What does that mean? High calling. You mean there's something more than just being saved? Ephesians 1:1 goes on. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to fulfill, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So Paul is writing Ephesus to saved believers. Keep that in mind. Ephesus is where the foundation of all truth comes in. It has the mystery. It has the doctrine of the body of Christ. So Paul was, after he had just in the first chapter, in the first part of the first chapter, laid out the basic doctrine of something new, this gospel I was talking about that most Christians have never heard, he prayed that these saved believers would understand that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Well, man, when I realized I was saved, I thought I was enlightened. He sure opened my eyes. But now we need to be enlightened again, that we may know what is the hope of his calling. Do you know what the hope of your calling is? If I ask you that question, could you tell me, could you write down or answer quickly, what is the hope of your calling? What is the hope of his calling for you? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the heavenlies? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Well, Paul said in Ephesians 3:8-9, he said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So who are all men men's in italics, so maybe it's just to make all. Well, I think you look back to All Saints in that first sentence. To make all saints see the dispensation of mystery. And we're going to talk about what this mystery is in another session. Ephesians 3, 16, 19, Paul's prayer, again, another prayer, to the saints, that the Lord God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Okay, I thought I was there. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. That'd be really full. I thought it, when you eat a lot, you feel full. All the fullness of God, that you could be really full. But then again, it says all saints. So this is written to saints. Colossians, the next epistle, 1-2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. These again are saved believers. Colossians 1:9-10. Another prayer by Paul to the saints. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge, epignosis, true knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God is looking for people who are going to dig in his word and increase in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:25-28. And some of this was in the first session with David. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, to complete the word of God. I don't know why, but when I was in church, they always seemed to preach out of the Gospels or the Old Testament and never got to the end, to the complete truth, to all truth. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to who? His saints. To whom God would thelo, God would desire to make known what is the riches of the glory of his, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't you like to be perfect? Well, this is the goal of all truth. Epaphras, who was one of Paul's ministers over in Colossae and around Hierapolis and Laodicea, around those areas. Paul, Epaphras, who is one of you, he was a Colossian, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So this is the God's intention of revealing all truth to his saints, that we will know our true position in Christ, that we can glorify Christ in his true position with his body. To stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, 2 Timothy was Paul's last epistle in this series of seven. And Paul knew that he was on his way out. in writing to Timothy, and some of the churches were being, Satan was turning them away from Paul. So Paul was going to start hitting hard here. So if this sounds hard, it's intended that way. And a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Have you ever opposed yourself? What does that mean, oppose yourself?
Well, you do something against your better judgment.
Yeah? Not getting your own way? Get in your own way? I'm called stubborn sometimes. Okay?
Lori says I do it a lot.
So, they're not opposing me. They're not opposing David. They're not opposing God. They're opposing themselves. You could have so much better. You could have such a more glorious gospel if you would just let go, open your eyes and open your heart, and soak in what God has to teach you. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So those who oppose themselves are not acknowledging the truth, all truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Devil is more subtle than any man or beast on the earth. He works in religion. He works in Bibles. Satan is very cunning and keeping people from the truth. So we are all easily taken captive by something of Satan. He's trying to keep us from knowing the truth. He does it through ceremonialism. He does it through religions, and he does it through false teachings and creeds and doctrines and all sorts of ideas. Second Timothy 4:2-4. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap unto themselves teachers, having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So we see, therefore, that it is God's desire to make known to his faithful saints the all truth, which includes the glorious gospel of the body of Christ, the mystery, and these are found in Ephesians and Colossians. So thank you. We're going to end in prayer. If you'll join me, thank you, Father, and we'll open up for some questions. Thank you, Father, for this teaching today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for admonishing us to open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to your spiritual truth of all truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I would like to bring David up here.
Questions for Alan or myself? Tony? Oh, are you both? Okay. All right.
They can pick whoever wants to answer.
Okay.
Ephesians 3:9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. And I'm sorry. Prior verse 8. Is where I meant to Verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The significance of the unsearchable riches of Christ.
They couldn't be found in any prior teaching.
Not out of Moses and the prophets.
Absolutely. They're not out of Moses and the prophets. They're unsearchable. They can't be found.
New truth.
Correct.
Well, I'd like to make a statement. Not too much. I don't care if you use the word dispensational fellowship. It works either way. The sharing of the scripture or stewardship has equal weight. Our hope is in the promises that we find in the letter. All the spiritual blessings and all of these. We've got billionaires if I can
use you. Oh, yeah. I agree.
Well, there we go.
Mark? Alan, if I may continue playing my role of difficult student.
High maintenance.
You referred to the teachings listed in Hebrews 6, 1 to 3, and you made the observation these things will be replaced by new teachings. Was that solely an evaluation based on understanding of right and vision, or do you have a source for that other, an additional source for that?
It's solely based on the teaching of right division.
And also, Paul's getting ready to start really giving them some meat in Hebrews. The priest, after the order of Melchizedek, and what that meant.
Because they at that point had not accepted Christ as their priest or king, and even do not today. They never, that nation never did. They, as you said, I think they missed the day of their visitation.
Other questions? Yes?
Could you elaborate on the love which passes understanding? The love of Christ which passes understanding?
Well, when I was able to acquire that several years ago, as I think of that, first of all, Paul gives us a hint. He really gives us an intro to quantum physics in that, he relates four dimensions. Professor, how many
dimensions
have been discovered so far?
10 plus.
Yeah.
There's three if you look at space only, but then there's the fourth time, four dimensions.
And in quantum physics, as Mark said, I think maybe up to 10.
There's infinite number of dimensions if you look at it from a purely mathematical point of view, in which philosophically I think there has ramifications for God, that you can't really put them into any finite number of dimensions.
Yeah, we're trying to define as mortals the creator of the mortals, and that's a really difficult thing to do.
Yeah. It's to me, though, again, addressing the question is the search to know all and the boundlessness of the love of God for me. All I can do is take assurances. I'll never know how much. I know I could never imagine how much he loves me, but he does.
Amen.
And what great, 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 great assurance. And as part of that love, he's brought me into the inner sanctum as the Lord of hosts, fighting this battle, and he shared with me, because of his love for me, what he is doing in his strategic plan for the ages. He's let me know. I mean, I know why Christ didn't return quickly. Just that. I mean, this is a concern, a question of believers everywhere. And it goes on and on. Of course, all of you have experienced this, and it's fabulous. Other questions?
Don't be bashful.
Yes.
Bullinger wrote in Things to Come, and I don't have all the details, but it was only a couple of pages, and it was called The Devil's Snare. And I think, if I remember, in my words, he was indicating that people are perhaps converted to a degree, but they're under the influence, we'll say, of Satan. And in my words, we don't go storming in and tell them about the body of Christ, but to be meek and humble and loving.
Amen.
And, but teach. I don't know if you remember all of that, but, that's saying that obviously that there are others that will progress into the body of Christ. Is that about it?
How did you know about Bullinger and the body of Christ?
And the body?
How did you know about Bullinger and the body of Christ? You're a student.
Because I got into the Worldwide Church of God and got introduced to the Companion Bible, and then God eased me out of that because I've been a Catholic. that's my story, but I could make up stuff and go on.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We were role-playing as you as a student not knowing anything about the mystery or about the body of Christ. I said we were role-playing as you not knowing anything about the body of Christ or the mystery.
Okay, well.
I'm just kidding. That's fine. I appreciate your question, though.
You
got
to draw a picture for me.
So your homework is to take the copies of these slides home and study them, research them, check it out. And I hope you're excited about learning a gospel you've never heard before. The glorious gospel of the body of Christ.
We're going to take a break for lunch now, and then we'll pip back up at 1 o'clock. I'm in the role play.
Thank you, guys. Y'all put your hands together.